They're going to have him back. He's a very talented receiver, too. More of a finesse type of guy. Not the best blocker. I'm going to lock him down. You know, straight up.
Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM with DeJoes and Aaron Hawksworth on the BetQL Network.
Welcome back. BetQL Daily right here on the BetQL Network. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth, presented by BetMGM. Higby, Higgins. The bottom line is it's Burrow and it's Mahomes on Sunday in Cincinnati, one of the biggest games of the week. Let's dive into some of these big games. There's a lot. I mean, this is one of the better weeks in terms of just matchups. Last week, we had some entertaining games, but they weren't great matchups, right? On paper, it's like Jaguars, Ravens, who cares? Well, it turned out to be a really good game with a two-point conversion at the end. This week has implications, big ones across both conferences. We can start with the Chiefs and the Bengals. We've been talking about it a lot this week. We'll continue now. We'll be on it tomorrow, of course, as well. I can't wait for this game because I really think the Bengals, Joe, you were on the Bengals about, I'd say, 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, right? You started feeling like there's something here. Like they might go on a run again. And I saw a graphic on the NFL Network yesterday or 2 days ago. They're almost exactly the same team they were last year. And we know where they ended up, like, in terms of points allowed, points scored, some of the rankings they are. And last year they came out of nowhere. Now they're not going to come out of nowhere again. We know it now, and teams know how good they could be. But they might get Ja'Marr Chase back this week or soon. Like, they're doing this without Ja'Marr Chase for the last month. They've got a chance here to pull off a big win. And if they do, they're going to be in everyone's Super Bowl bubble next week. And everyone, they're going to jump the odds. They're going to be the favorite in that division. If they win this game, there's no more like, oh, yeah, what about the Bengals? Like, they're in everyone's top five, I think, if they win this game.
Famous last words, but I don't think there's any way this weekend disappoints because of the volume of great matchups that we have. You would think one or two of them were going to have an upset, which would shock the world. Like if Cincinnati wins, if Miami wins at San Francisco, you know, locally for me, Chicago beating Green Bay would be a big thing. And the Packers have been terrible this year with your team, Philadelphia and Tennessee. That's a big one. The team close to Aaron, Washington, New York Giants. That's a fight for a playoff spot in the NFC. Like, and that's one that's kind of flying under the radar that not as many people nationally are talking about because we have so many great matchups. As far as this one, yes, you mentioned Ja'Marr Chase might play. Well, on Wednesday, he was limited. Doesn't that make you think that he's going to be available for at least, I don't know, maybe half the snaps? Or you would assume that they targeted this as his return. So Chase was limited. Mixon, coming off the concussion, he's limited. But with the new rules, I don't know that he's going to be out there. Injury's a big deal for the Bengals because there's also DJ Reader, their defensive tackle, too. And he was limited. So if you're limited on Wednesday, a lot of times I would think, concussions aside, I would think that you're going to be ready for Sunday. But on the Kansas City side, they're not injured at all. There's nothing of significance even being reported. So that's great that we're going to see best versus best. There's the revenge factor with Kansas City losing twice to the Bengals last year.
Yes.
I can't wait to see this matchup. And it looks like we're going to get Pat Mahomes inside of a field goal. Great history there when the number's under three. He's a dog or favored by less than three. He's been phenomenal. And that's going to be a hell of a scene at Paul Brown.
I'm torn on this one. I mean, I do like the point that the Bengals, you know, have been overlooked, and I think there is something special there. But I think there's going to be a revenge factor here for the Chiefs. Having lost to the Bengals twice last season, you know, that AFC title game, 27-24, overtime loss, I think they're going to give their best effort. And I guess you could look at Andy Reid as usually really good in December, too.
Didn't it feel like the Chiefs didn't care last week? They're just like, let's just get through this. We'll win, whatever. Who cares if we cover? Like, it felt like they were not using any of their good plays. Let's say that.
It's almost like two things. One, something's got to give, right? Joe, you mentioned it's Mahomes under a field goal. It's like an auto bet. But the most profitable quarterback in the NFL against the spread since 2020 is Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow's getting points. We're getting points at home with Joe Burrow. And I know he's not Mahomes, but I consider him right below. Like, I put him in that next tier as a great young quarterback in the NFL, and we're getting points. I don't know what to do with this game because I like both teams. I like both quarterbacks. I'm not sure I'm actually going to bet this one. I might just sit out and watch this because you could convince me either side. You could the Bengals win. I'm not going to be shocked.
Bengals have for a long period of time, last couple of years, they've also been a great second half team. When I saw that, I was a little surprised. Like in the last 20 games, they're 18-2 ATS in the second half. So if they're trailing, I wouldn't be scared to take a look at them. Great matchup. Potential. I mean, there was all this build up going into the season early in the regular season that we're hoping for Bills, Chiefs, AFC Championship. If we get this in the AFC Championship again, I don't think anybody would complain.
Is there anything in your mind about a revenge spot? We talked about that with the Bills, Chiefs last in October, right? The Bills stewed all offseason that they lost that game. Well, don't you think the Chiefs stewed all offseason they lost that game? They blew the AFC title game. I mean, like Mahomes stunk in the second half. I mean, I don't know if it's going to change this outcome, but they've got to be this one had to be on the Chiefs' calendar for a while. Like that team stole a Super Bowl appearance from us last year.
I think it's a big deal. I definitely think they're going to be motivated by that and feel like they have a lot to prove and, you know, get that off. You know, they've been waiting for this for a long time to show that, hey, listen, we are the better team.
And you have a coaching mismatch as well. So
you do.
I'm looking at Kansas City if you play anything. Like I like a lot of different games, so I'm not sure that this one will make the final five, and I want to see what number we end up getting on this in contest. But hey, I've been all in on the Bengals. You guys know this more than anybody else that I hear of. I put them in my top five in the NFL, but this specific spot, Cincinnati's in a rough one, even if they do get chased back for the entire game.
Quick question on Zach Taylor. I agree with you. He's not a very good coach. I don't like look at him like, wow, they have a big advantage with him. What do we do with Zach Taylor if he goes to a Super Bowl again? Like, we're just going to credit Burrow?
You have to give him credit. You know what I think a big difference is, though, too? Their defensive coordinator doesn't get talked about a lot. Like he was smart enough to get some really good assistants under him. So it isn't all him. I think people like to pretend that it is when you have a situation where it's a head coach / play caller. So offensively, yes, he's the dude and he's working with unbelievable weapons. And overall, I think in the end, we'll say that they improved that offensive line, which was the Achilles heel of the team. But the defense is not talked about, and you could make a case that defense is a top 10 defense, and we're the big players. And they've had some key injuries in the secondary too, and they're still getting it done in such a great AFC. So that's why this final stretch with such a tough schedule is going to be very interesting to watch, where we're going to really find out what Cincinnati is.
All right, let's go to Dolphins Niners, the other gigantic game this week. So this one's sitting at 4. And it's been here for now for a couple of days, right? We had the early movement, and then it's kind of just sat at 4 with the 49ers as the favorite. It's the contrasting styles. I might be more intrigued for how this looks than anything else. I feel like I know how Chiefs-Bengals looks, right? It's probably a shootout. They're both going to score a lot of points. Are we going to get an offensive game in this one, Aaron? Is the Dolphins offense going to stand up and play? Or are we getting a defensive game because the Niners' defense just shuts them down? I don't know. I mean, you could convince me it's high scoring or low scoring.
Yeah, I could be convinced as well. I did love the story I saw yesterday about Mike McDaniel and Tua. I don't know if you guys saw it, but basically Tua admitted that last season he was like, I was looking myself in the mirror and like asking myself, do I suck? And then McDaniel comes in, puts together this long clip of highlights of him, like believing in him, instilling this confidence. And now Tua's having a phenomenal season. I just thought it was a really cool story about having someone believe in you and, you know, kind of turning things around. I think, you know, a lot of us could relate to that. You're hard on yourself. And then you have someone who's like, listen, like you don't suck. Here's what you can do. And then it's like, you're seeing his career and the Dolphins are having a great season.
Do you know what this reminds me of? I was thinking about McDaniel and Tua. It reminds me of when Sean McVay took over the Rams. Remember how bad Jared Goff was as a rookie? He was horrendous. Now, Tua was, I guess, Tua was better than Goff was then, but he was still not any good. And then McVay came in, and he made him good. Like, they had that run for 3 or 4 years where they won a lot of games together. This reminds me of that a little bit. McDaniel's a good coach. Really good coach.
Yeah.
This 5-game winning streak for Miami. Houston, worst team in the NFL. Cleveland, very disappointing defense, can't stop the run. Chicago, yep. Now the worst defense in the NFL. Detroit, one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Pittsburgh, when they didn't have Watt or Minkah Fitzpatrick. I can't get past that. I can't. My initial thought was Miami getting more than a field goal, but the more and more I look at this game, I'm wondering. Now, hey, if Tua comes out, performs well, under pressure, which we expect him to be under against this Niners front, congratulations, man. You're a real team. A lot of people have been doubting you, and if they shock the world, which is what would happen for them to go out to San Francisco. But Paul keeps hinting at it. The status of this Dolphins offensive line, he could be in a lot of trouble. I know he's done well under pressure this year, but, man, so Armstead did not practice yesterday. If they have to play Little on the left side protecting him, that's going to be very worrisome. Now, the San Francisco injury report is worth bringing up because on Wednesday, CMC did not practice. Elijah Mitchell did not practice. Debo and Eric Armstead were both limited. So my sense is that the two of them will play. But pay attention to the injury report. And if the Dolphins' offensive line looks shaky on the final injury report on Friday, I don't think I can back Miami.
Well, I mean, the last time Miami scored over 20 against a good defense was September. I mean, that's the truth. And they lost to it for some of those games, so you can take those out if you want. But they haven't scored against a good defense in months. There is a path to a Niners route here, isn't there? If everything you're saying, Joe, plays out and the Niners offense wakes up a little bit, this could be 27-14, 27-16. Like, that could happen in this game. I like the Niners. I like the side in this game more than I do the side in the Chiefs-Bengals game.
So, I mean, their wins early were really impressive, too. So I should bring that up if we're going to be fair on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, winning at Baltimore, winning against Buffalo early on, that was big. And they had that 3-game losing streak against 3 playoff teams. Bengals, Jets, Vikings. Those are all 3 playoff teams. So it's going to be interesting. It's a good test for them.
Garoppolo did hurt his knee. I mean, it seems like he's fine. He was a full participant yesterday, but I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he is a little banged up and not 100%, maybe that could be a factor.
Sure.
It's weird to me that the Niners can't score more points consistently. They've had so many weird games where they don't score. And I Garoppolo gets a lot of the blame for it, and sometimes it's his fault, but it's just bizarre. How do you have 5 Pro Bowlers on offense? And I know they're not all there at the same time, right? They just traded for CMC a month ago, but they should score more.
Does it matter to you if the Niners are missing both running backs?
Well, you said it yesterday, right? They're only 18th in rushing this year. We think of them as this ground and pound team, not a great running team this year.
No.
But who's next, right? Jeff Wilson they got rid of. He's on Miami now. Who's the next backup?
When you've got a pass on Miami anyways, that's their weakness.
Right.
So, little pressure on Jimmy G. Little bit. As far as the injury report, the Green Bay one stood out. Because the day after Rodgers is like, I'm good to go, he's not practicing. Bakhtiari did not practice. He doesn't practice much on Wednesdays. Jenkins, the guard, starting guard, did not practice. But we mentioned earlier, number of Bears out on the defensive side, Brisker, Gordon. They're a battle line as is, and they were missing multiple starters from Wednesday's practice. Fields was limited. Claypool was limited. Maybe there's some signal because Simeon did not practice yesterday. They signed Tim Boyle from the Detroit practice squad. This is what they did in the middle of last week with Peterman. So when I look at that, I'm like, maybe that means Fields is not going to be out there, even though he was limited on a Wednesday.
I would imagine Fields is not going to play. Isn't this line telling us no Fields? 4.5?
I mean, the front office does not want him to play. It's just a matter of talking the coaching staff into it. Like, look, this is the position we're in. And I know it's the Packers, and it would ignite the fan base because they haven't beaten Rodgers or that team in so long. But no, this is not good for us. If they get – right now they're the two in the draft. One win, and they'll like fall out of the top five probably.
It doesn't make sense to play him. He's too valuable. No. He's put enough out there already where you could feel good he's the guy next season. I don't think he's going to play, and that's why this number might be moving up towards the Packers. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth, BetQL Daily. On the other side, college football championship weekend. We'll look at the SEC, the Big Ten next on the BetQL Network.
We'll be right back with BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.